If you learn through Shas, you'll find that there are seven mitzvahs throughout Shas and Medrash that Chazal say about those mitzvahs that they're shkulim keneged kol ha-mitzvahs, that they're equal to all the other mitzvahs. There are seven mitzvahs like that. One of those mitzvahs is the mitzvah of tzitzis, which is in Parashat Shlach, in the end of Parashat Shlach. Rashi says it, actually it's a Rashi, in the end of the last pasuk in Parashat Shlach, Rashi brings it to the middle of a long Rashi, towards the end of a long Rashi. Rashi says that tzitzis is shkula keneged kol ha-mitzvahs, it's equal to all the mitzvahs. Shenemar va'asisem is kol mitzvaysa, because the pasuk says that tzitzis will motivate you to do all the mitzvahs. There are others also, Avodah Zarah, not worshipping Avodah Zarah, Shakol Keneged Kol HaMitzvahs, Shabbos, Nila, Talmud Torah. There are a few important mitzvahs that are Shakol Keneged Kol HaMitzvahs, Shabbos. Reb Shlomo Volba, Zecharino Livracha, was nifter a few weeks ago, wrote a sefer about 3 years ago. And the name of the sefer, I just got it a few months ago. The name of the sefer is Mitzvos Hashkulos. That's the name of the sefer. And the sefer is essays explaining what's unique about these seven mitzvahs, that they're Shakol Keneged Kol HaTorah. And he says that when we hear Shakol Keneged Kol HaTorah, that the mitzvah is equal to the whole Torah, we assume that means that it's like it's a very big mitzvah. We think in terms of currency, you know, like $100 is more than $10, you know, it's larger. But he says it's much more than that. It's that and more. We say, for example, that Moshe Rabbeinu is Shakol Keneged Kol Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is, if you put Moshe Rabbeinu on one side of the scale and the whole Klal Yisrael on the other side, Moshe Rabbeinu evens out the scale. So the Mefarshim say that doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu it doesn't only mean that Moshe Rabbeinu was greater than 600,000 people. It means more than that. It means that Moshe Rabbeinu gave the tzura and the neshama and the pnimius to those 600,000 people. When we say that something is shakol keneged all of Klal Yisrael, we mean that Klal Yisrael gets their identity from there. The identity of Klal Yisrael comes from there. We get our identity from Moshe Rabbeinu. He gave us the Torah, he provided us with our mitzvahs, he provided us with leadership and malchus, He gives us our whole pnimius, our whole neshama. It comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Sfarim call Moshe Rabbeinu the neshama of Klal Yisrael. Like we're the guf and he's the neshama. So if we have seven mitzvahs that are shakol keneged kol ha-Torah, Rav Volba says, that means that each one of those mitzvahs represent a fundamental foundation in Judaism that provides the neshama for the rest of our mitzvahs. It's like the neshama of the mitzvahs. It's a fundamental yisayit in our Kiyum HaMitzvahs. It's not just that it's a bigger mitzvah, but it's a fundamental mitzvah. But lemashal, just to say as a mashal, if we were to say that we know that all the 613 mitzvahs correspond to the organs in a person's body, right? The 365 lavin are keneged 365 gidin, and the 248 mitzvahs asay, positive commandments, are connected to 248 organs in a person's body. Right? That's what we know Chazal tell us that. So, if that were the case, so I would say that the seven mitzvahs correspond to the vital organs in a person. The life-giving organs in a person. There's a difference between the heart and the finger. They're both organs, they're both limbs, let's say, but the seven mitzvahs are the ones that are providing life. You know, the brain, the kidneys, the heart. There are different levels within a person's body of how important each organ or limb is. Some you can live without, some you can't live without. So I'm just saying this as a mashal. I'm not saying that there are seven evarim like that, but just as a mashal, just to understand the placement of these seven mitzvahs in Yiddishkeit, I say that just like there are 248 evarim in a person's body, but some of them our body depends on and draw its nourishment from, so too there are 248 mitzvahs in the Torah, and some of them the whole Torah draws its nourishment from. And those are the seven mitzvahs, if you look through the whole Shas, and we trust that Rav Volba did that, if you look through the whole Shas and all of Medrash, there's seven mitzvahs that it says that are shakol keneged kol ha-Torah. And at the beginning of the Sefer, I have it over here, at the beginning of the Sefer, HaMitzvos HaShkulos, he says in one line what it is exactly that each mitzvah provides. What's the point that each mitzvah provides? So on Tzitzis, which is what we're going to deal with today, because it's in this week's parasha, on Tzitzis he says, Tzuras Kayach HaZchira, the Tzura of the power of remembering, Shehi HaYediyah B'Poyel, which is active knowledge. That's the best way I can think of to translate. HaYediyah B'Poyel, Pa'ula is an action. HaYediyah B'Poyel is active knowledge. That's what Tzitzis is. Sounds a little bit cryptic. And throughout the Sefer, he expounds on it more and more. Would like to discuss a little bit what it means, that the idea of Tzitzis is Zechira, remembering. Now, obviously, he's coming off the Pasuk in the Parashah of Tzitzis. The Pasuk says that when we put Tzitzis on the four corners of our garment, Leman Tizkeru Va'asisem is called Mitzvayse, so that you should remember to do all the mitzvahs. Tzitzis is supposed to be a reminder to us, a reminder that we should be Mekayim mitzvahs. And Rav Volba says that, therefore, the foundation that Tzitzis represents in Yiddishkeit to us is the foundation called remembering, which is active knowledge. So, that's in a nutshell, that's the shir. But the nutshell is not good enough. We have to be able to understand what this means. Why is remembering a fundamental foundation of Judaism? Remembering is one of the things that we have. We remember things. Why is that a foundation, remembering? What does it mean that remembering is active knowledge? I've never heard that as the translation of, you remember something or you don't remember it. Why is remembering active knowledge? So that's what I'd like to get into today. Rav Volba's Rebbe was the Mashgiach of the Amir Yeshiva, Rabbi Yerucham, Zechana Levracha, Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz. And there's a, in the Sefer Al HaTorah that they have essays from Rabbi Yerucham, Shmuzin that he gave that were written down, he talks about memory in this week's parasha, Zechira, memory is. And he brings a fascinating Gemara that opens up the whole topic of memory, of Zikaron and Shikra, to a more mature depth than we might previously have it. He mentions there, just to show us how intriguing this concept of remembering or forgetting is, he said, we have a pasuk that we're going to learn in a few weeks. The pasuk says that someone who's a Baal Gaiva forgets Hashem. V'ram levavecha, and your heart becomes high, v'shachachta es Hashem, and you forget Hashem. So just imagine for yourself, we read these pasukim, it's amazing how deadened we are. We read these psukim, and we just nod our heads to them, like it makes a lot of sense. Just imagine, you have a kid, he went to yeshiva, he believes in Hashem, he's from, he grows up, he does the mitzvahs, he gets married, he settles down, he has a job, he has his shir, he has his davening, he does his things, and he becomes a Baal Gaiva at some point. Maybe he gets a good job, or he becomes the mayor of the city or something, he becomes a Baal Gaiva. And then he forgets Hashem, and then if you ask him, do you know Hashem, he says, I forgot. He forgets Hashem? What does it mean to v'shachat? It doesn't say he doesn't think about Hashem. It says he forgets Hashem. That's what really happened? His amnesia, suddenly? What does it mean when we say, obviously we all know that that's not what the pasuk means, but what does it mean exactly when we say forgetting? So Rabbi Yerucham brings a Gemara in Sanhedrin. It's a fascinating, fascinating Gemara, and it's one of these Gemaras that's really a sugya. It's a regular sugya like any other sugya in Shas, but snuck into that sugya is a musr that you can't step over. It's a musr that you have to stop and take notice of. The Gemara over there is talking about the halachas of when we're dan dinei nefashas. There are averas that in the Torah that if a person does, there is capital punishment in the Torah. And capital punishment is very, very careful, meticulous ways that Beis Din has to judge it, because we don't want, obviously we're dealing with a life over here, and it has to be done in a very, very, very specific, careful way to make 100% sure that the psak is right. There's a big controversy if capital punishment in this country is a correct thing or not a correct thing. That question is irrelevant to our capital punishment in the Torah, because most of the people who say it's an incorrect thing, there's different schools of thought, but a large reason to say that it's not a correct thing is because of the large amount of mistakes that can be and that have been made in finding, in using circumstantial evidence and so on and so forth, people can make mistakes. That's something that the way we work with Edim and Dayanim, and they all have to agree, and if there's a tzad, if there's even a tzad that he's not chayev, if there's such a possibility, they will not give the death penalty on Beis Din. They're so careful, and it's so meticulous, and it's so exact, that it's a totally different type of death penalty than exists in this country. Even though this country, it's also careful. But it's unbelievable how careful it is in the Jewish court system. But in any case, the Gemara says, the Mishnah, it's really a Mishnah, the Mishnah says that we should not start a court case on Friday. You don't start a court case on Friday. And the Gemara explains, you don't want to start a court case on Friday because in case they feel like they have to give it another day, because they don't want to give a psak of Misa on that day, they have to give it another day, and you can't do it on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, so what's the big deal? Judge the case on Friday and finish up on Sunday. So you take a break for Shabbos. What's so terrible? You take a break for Shabbos. So the Gemara says, no, by the time Sunday comes, they'll forget. The Dayanim will forget, they'll forget all the sides, all the arguments, it's complex. And they'll forget all the arguments of the case. So the Gemara says, even though they had two scribes sitting in the courtroom, like they have today, that were writing down every single word that was said, and every reason to punish him, every reason to give him the death penalty was written down, and every reason to excuse him and to declare him innocent was written down. Everything was written down. So what are you afraid of forgetting by Sunday? You can read over your notes. It's like, it's not such a big deal. Every single thing was recorded. The Gemara says, no. Your mind might remember, the heart might, the Gemara says, all the things could be written down, but the heart still forgets. That's the words of the Gemara. Liba de inshi inshi. The heart of man forgets. Rashi says, even though you remember the tainus, you remember all the reasons back and forth, but the clarity of the heart is missing. It's an unbelievable thing. That means that it's possible for me to remember all the details of something, and I still don't remember kind of the neshama of it. The feel of it, the clarity of it. I can have all the information, but if I'm not living in it, it's not there. Anyone who's learned a sugya be'ion, who's spent a lot of time learning a sugya in Gemara, knows that he can write down everything, and he's so happy, and it's incredible, all the different studim, and the questions, and the answers, and so on. And a few weeks later, he could read over his notes, all the information is there, and he still feels like something's missing. He doesn't have it like he had it when he learned it. There's a certain clarity when you work on something that's there, that you could forget, even though all the information is there, but there's more to remembering than a culmination of all the information. There's a certain awareness and a certain depth of connecting to the subject at hand that's also called forgetting. I was trying to think of a few examples of when we could remember everything, but we don't really remember. Myself, it may sound a little funny, but I think it's an emes thing, and for sure anybody here appreciates music or song or zmiris will identify with this. Let's stop for a minute. Let's think about Yom Kippur. Just think about Yom Kippur. We're sitting in our kittles. We're davening. We remember. Nobody forgot Yom Kippur. It wasn't that long ago. We don't forget Yom Kippur. We had a bunch of them. You don't forget Yom Kippur. And yet, if Reb Aaron over here would get up and start saying, Yisgadel, V'yisgadel, start the Yom Kippur, suddenly you remember a lot better. What facts do you remember now that you didn't remember before? No facts. Someone gets up, someone will go, Kol Nidrei. Remember better now, right? You remember better. Something about the neshama of it, about the essence of it, about the connection to it comes back. But what fact do you remember now that you didn't remember before? There's no facts, but there's a certain clarity, a certain neshama, a certain depth that comes back that you just didn't have before. That's also called zikaron. What that's called is, before I started to sing the nusach, we remembered Yom Kippur in our minds, but we didn't remember it in our hearts. When you start, for those who are sensitive to that, when you start singing the nusach of Yom Kippur, then your heart remembers it too. That's Zikaron Halev. And that's an inherent part of remembering. Another example. And this is something I think that as we get older, we appreciate more and more. Imagine a person will go visit a place where he used to live 20 years ago. A place where he used to live 30 years ago. Now, for example, I grew up in a house. I remember every nook and cranny of that house. I can describe to you, I played hide and seek in that house. I mean, I could describe to you every single corner of that house. Till today, I remember it clearly. And yet I know that if I would walk into that house and walk around the house, somehow the feelings of the house would start rushing at me, and the experiences would start coming alive, and I would remember better. Even though I remember everything, there's no facts that are going to become clear to me by looking at the house that weren't clear to me by thinking about it. But there's something about seeing that place that I once was, or that I had that experience, that brings the memory not just to my mind where it is, but brings it back to my heart. The heart forgets quickly, much quicker than the mind. And finally, and this is really eases us back into the subject of tzitzis and of the zikaron that we're going to get to talking about, is that many of us, all of us probably, face different nisyonos in life, face different tests. The Yetzer Hara tests us. And very often, the Yetzer Hara tests us with things that he's already tried before. He's tried that one on us before. We failed already before that one. And you'd think that we'd remember how miserable we felt the last time we failed. The last time we said something not appropriate. The last time we looked at something not appropriate. The last time we did this aveira, or we didn't do this mitzvah as well as we should. We remember how miserable we felt. How does the Yetzer Hara have the nerve, the audacity, to give us the same nisayon again? And then we fall again. How does it happen? The last time we felt miserable the last time we fell. It was horrible. We never wanted to experience that again, that feeling of having fallen. And yet, the Yetzer Hara has his way of just dangling the same lollipop in front of our eyes, and we go for it again. Why? That's because we remember the event that happened, but our heart doesn't remember clearly the pain of the fall. If our hearts, if it would be as vivid to us now as it was then, the pain of the fall, the Yetzer Hara would never be able to tempt us twice with the same thing. Because we'd be able to tell the Yetzer Hara, you tried that on me once. It was horrible. I hated it. It didn't pan out for me. You already tried to get me to do that trick, or to eat something not appropriate, or to say something not right. You already tried that. I felt horrible afterwards. I couldn't sleep the next night. It was horrible. But we remember the event, but we don't connect to it. And then when we fall again, boom, it all comes back to us. Why didn't I remember how horrible it feels? Why didn't I remember from last time how horrible it is? That's the Zikaron Halev kicking in. The heart's remembering. Someone becomes a Baal Gaiva. Of course, you say, you know Hashem? Of course I know Hashem. Maybe he even gives a shir. Maybe he's a big Talmud Chacham. Maybe he dives with a lot of Kavana. He knows Hashem, but his heart forgets Hashem. Because someone who's a Baal Gaiva, his heart is full of himself. And there's no room for two gods in a person's heart. There's only room for one God. And if a person is his own God, so then there's no room for Hashem in his heart. His mind might be able to give the most unbelievable philosophical exposés on Hashem. But he still would not be able to say that he remembers Hashem. V'ram levavcha v'shachachta. Person becomes a Baal Gaiva and he forgets. His mind doesn't forget, but that clarity of the heart leaves him. But he's standing in front of Hashem. That absolute clarity leaves him. Now this is not something, this is on all areas of Yiddishkeit I found this Yisoid. I just told it to you from Rabbi Yerucham. Now I'll read you a line from Reb Tzadik HaKayin. An amazing, amazing line. This is in Tzidkas HaTzadik, Nun Hei. Iker ha'averus, the main source of averus that a person does in his life, ba'im makhmas ha'shikha, comes from forgetting, shehi b'lev, which is in the heart. Sha'afilu zeicher b'mayach, even if he remembers in his mind, mikol makim eino zeicher b'lev, but he doesn't remember it in his heart. Ki ilu haya be'emes zaycha behargashas halev. If he would really remember with the full feeling of the heart, shehashem yisparach tziva al zeh lo yitasekein. Now imagine if a person would have the clarity. Hashem Yisbarach is standing over him and saying, don't do that. It's impossible that he would do it. Which Yid would do an Aveir if he's imagining HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvayli v'atzmai saying, you know, Pliny, don't do that. Nobody would do an Aveir. Ela rak shehayetzer ma'alimoy me'liboy. The Gemara says that when the Yetzahara is there, less man dezacher the Yetzatayv. When the Yetzahara is there, you don't remember the Yetzatayv anymore. It's a part of the Yetzirah's trick is to make me forget. My mind doesn't. The Yetzirah can't make my mind forget. But he makes my heart forget. And that means an incredible Yesod. That means that I know the facts, but I'm not reacting to them properly. Such a big Yesod in life that many times we understand the situation in our minds perfectly. What's not motivating us is that we still forgot it. This is something that we have to realize, that it's possible to forget something that we remember. I remember it, but it's still shachuach, it's forgotten. I was thinking that this is what we say, speaking of Kol Nidre, that we say by Kol Nidre, we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say a pasuk, to please v'nifslach l'chol adas b'nei Yisrael, to please forgive all of Klal Yisrael, we say, ki l'chol ha'am b'shgaga. The whole nation is a shagig. The whole nation did it by mistake. So we ask, we've discussed this before, the whole nation did it by mistake? We wish. Unfortunately, we do have areas and we know that we're not allowed to do them. How could we say that, how could we stand, our first thing we do on Yom Kippur is lie. That's our beginning of Yom Kippur. We tell ourselves, everyone did it by mistake. Like, don't you think you should try to come to Yom Kippur at least telling the truth? Everyone did it by mistake? So I was thinking, according to this, the pshat is very good. I would never have done her aveir if I would have remembered that it's aser. What's that? You did remember. Yeah, my mind remembered. My heart didn't remember. The Yetzahara made my heart forget that it's aser. My mind remembered. Yeah, when I was in yeshiva, I learned that you're not allowed to do such and such. But it wasn't alive. It wasn't a living, breathing thing to me. That makes me, in a certain sense, we tell Hashem, we're a shaygig. Our hearts forgot. Someone forgets that it's Shabbos and he turns on a light. He brings a carbon. He's not chayiv misa. It's a shaygig. We also forget that it's Shabbos. When we talk about things we shouldn't talk about on Shabbos. The Kedusha of Shabbos is not remembered in our heart. Our minds remember it, but our heart doesn't remember it. Now I understand what Revolba says. That first of all, the first thing, we understand that remembering is a foundation of Judaism. It's not a side thing. Zikaron, remembering mitzvahs, that is the weapon against the Yetzer Hara. If we'd be able to have tools of remembering, so then we'd stay alive. The Yetzer Hara wouldn't have a chance against us. His whole chance, the whole way he gets us, is that he makes our heart forget. And we don't notice it, because if we would wake up without memory one morning, boy, we'd realize. But we remember everything. We don't realize that slowly it's slipping out of our hearts. The aliveness of it is slipping out of our hearts. And that's what Revolba means when he says that remembering is active knowledge. It's not enough to have knowledge. It has to be alive knowledge. Yediyah b'payil, active knowledge. Knowledge that motivates me. It's not enough that I know it. I have to know it and I have to feel it. Imagine the difference between somebody who's not in the mood of you know, like even a simpler mashal. How much would we eat if we didn't feel hungry? If we never felt hungry, how much would we eat? Part of what motivates us to eat is that we feel hungry. You know in your mind that you have to eat. Even if you wouldn't feel hungry, wouldn't you know that if a person doesn't eat for a certain amount of time, it's very dangerous? You know in your mind you have to eat. And still we all know that if we wouldn't feel hungry, we wouldn't eat as much as we should. Because it's not alive in our heart. Yeah, I know, in an abstract sense, I know that I should eat. But then when those hunger pangs kick in, then it's not abstract anymore. Then I know I have to eat. Zechira needs to be reality. It's not enough that it's in my mind. It needs to be a reality to me. Tzitzis is supposed to provide us with a zechira, remembering all the mitzvahs of Hashem. And there's many, many pages and essays and ma'amorim written on exactly how tzitzis is supposed to do that. I recommend highly So a person, there's a book, I have it here, a book from Rav Shlomo Shofel Hirsch called Jewish Symbolism. It's an incredible book. And in that book, he goes through a few mitzvahs, milah, tzitzis, tefillin, Beis HaMikdash, a few mitzvahs, and he explains what all the aspects, the physical aspects of them represent in an unbelievable way and in a very inspiring way. I'm just going to say now a few sentences about how tzitzis could remind us of the mitzvahs, just to give an example of it. My real focus now is to talk about memory, remembering. I just want to give a mashal of how tzitzis is supposed to remind us. But if you want to really get a taste of tzitzis, you have to read what Rav Shlomo Shofel Hirsch says on tzitzis, and many others, but I'm just giving that Mara Mokim, that it's tzitzis is different, becomes a different mitzvah. The word malbush is clothing. Malbushim are clothing. The sherish of malbush is busha, embarrassment. And anyone who knows a little history knows why. Because Adam HaRishon put on clothing when he felt embarrassed. He felt busha. And that made him put on a malbush. That made him put on clothing. Adam HaRishon didn't feel busha before he did the aver because he hadn't abused his body. He hadn't used his body not appropriately. His body was a vessel in the Beis HaMikdash. It was being used to serve Hashem. As soon as it was used the way Hashem did not want him to use it, so he was abusing it. And therefore he felt embarrassed. He felt its lack, its lacking, its chaser. And he felt embarrassed. Covering the body is the first step towards the tikkun of that chet. Hashem made clothing for Adam. Hashem dressed Adam in clothing. Probably Adam knew how to dress himself. But Hashem dressed Adam in clothing because Hashem wanted to give Adam a message that this is the first step. Cover yourself. Why? Because covering yourself says that my head, my eyes, my ears, that's what's in charge. Everything else is undercover. Literally. Everything else is second in command. What's in charge, what you can see on me, what's important, what's running the show, that's my head. Everything else is covered. That's the beginning of recovering from the chet of Adam HaRishon. The Medrash says about tzitzis, just to bring it alive a little bit. The Medrash says it's a mashal to a person that falls overboard on a boat. Imagine a ship in the ocean, and someone's playing around on the deck of the ship, and somehow or other he flips over, and he falls overboard, and he's splashing around in the water, and he's about to drown in the ocean. So the sailors take a rope, and they throw it down to him, and they say, grab hold of this rope. If you hold on to this rope, you'll live. If you leave go of this rope, you will not live. You must hang on to this rope. These are the ropes. This is a rope. The tzitzis are ropes. Hashem says, the world is an ocean that's going to drown us. Yam HaTayvus, it's called. It's a dangerous ocean. Here's the rope. It's called by mitzvahs. It's called the mitzvahs of the Torah. We know that the amount of knots and strings together equals 613. It's called the mitzvahs of the Torah. Hold on to the rope. If you hold on to the rope, you'll live. If you don't hold on to the rope, you will not live. Hold on to the rope. And those ropes are put on the corners of a malbush, on the corners of the first step towards Adam separating himself from the world. Not being a slave to the world, but rather using the world the way Hashem wants him to. That's what clothing is. My head is in charge. And on the corners of my clothing, I have those ropes that I have to hang on to. Because these are the ropes that are going to keep me from falling into the ocean. This is one remez. But that's what tzitzis is supposed to do for us. It's supposed to help us to remember, that we should remember, really remember. We have to picture what it means to be almost drowning in the ocean. And imagine that sailor lowering down the rope, and our life depends on it. That's what we should think of when we put on our tzitzis in the morning. When I was preparing this shiur, I started laughing. I was thinking, imagine, you know, you have the proverbial red string that a person ties onto his finger to remember something. You know, he ties a string or he leaves a note for himself. Imagine a guy ties a string onto his finger to remember to buy something. And then when he's driving home, he's like, what's this red string for? I can't remember what this is supposed to remind me of. Sometimes you have something to remind us of something, but you can't remember what it's supposed to remind you of. I was thinking, when I was preparing the shir yesterday, I was thinking, do I remember putting on tzitzis this morning? Let me think. Do I remember, waking up, I remember where my tzitzis were. Nope. I can't even remember putting them on. Forget about what I was thinking about when I put them on, or if I was thinking at all, which I wasn't. I can't even remember the act of putting tzitzis on myself. So the thing that's supposed to remind me to remember, I forgot about. So we do the reminder very dutifully. We put on the reminder every day, but the reminder is not reminding us of anything. And there's no answer to that. So maybe should I tie something to my bed to remind me, to be reminded by the reminder? And then a few months, I'll have to tie something onto my big toe to remind me to be reminded by the thing on my bed, which reminds me of the tzitzis, which will remind. There's no end. The bottom line is that if we don't wake up and start living in the moment and being aware of our surroundings and taking note of the things that we're supposed to take note of, we're not going to remember. I'm learning this man with Rabbi Cohen, we're learning Hilchos Mezuzah. Mezuzah has Shema in it. When you pass by a door, you're supposed to remember that Hashem is one. And you're supposed to remember that Hashem protects us, and it's a big skula to protecting us from the Yetzirah. They even say that a person should stand by the mezuzah and daven, that Hashem should save him from his Yetzirah. But we pass by how many mezuzahs in a day, and we don't even remember that there's a mitzvah called mezuzah. So we have our tzitzis, but we have to remember to remember. And there's no other way to do that other than to get into the habit and to continuously be ma'ayir ourselves through learning, through musr, to be alive. We have to be alive and aware of what we're doing. Hashem provided us with the gifts to be able to stay close to Him. But if we don't use those gifts to remember what we're supposed to remember, we just do those gifts out of habit, so then we've fallen back into shikha. I want to just quote Rabbi Kaufman about a year before they opened the yeshiva. Rabbi Kaufman wrote a very, very popular article in the Jewish Observer. And it was reprinted this year. Chaim Berlin printed a book of articles written by Talmidim of Chaim Berlin. And they chose his article to be one of the articles in there because it's a very, very powerful article. And if you listen carefully, I want to quote certain parts of it. If you listen carefully, I never read it carefully till this Shabbos. If you read it carefully, you realize that this is what he's talking about. This is the message that he was trying to give over. The purpose of the article was something that has seemingly nothing to do with the shir. The purpose of the article was to discuss the dropout problem in yeshivas. The purpose of this article is to identify the root of our dropout problem from the perspective of a yeshiva rebbe and offer a practical approach to solving it. I'm not going to read the whole article, but I want to pick out certain paragraphs that they slapped me in the face a little bit, along the lines that we're saying here. In truth, he writes, the dropout problem is not confined to our youth. Everyone is at risk. The difference is that adults tend to be more set in their habits, and their lack of devotion is masked by habit. They will continue to go to shul and observe many mitzvahs, but without putting their hearts into it. This is not what the Torah wants. A continuous and ongoing dedication is required of everyone. And these, quote-unquote, observant Jews actually serve as a microcosm of the dropout phenomenon. Judaism demands growth from people of all ages. It demands it, and it also nurtures it, because its very essence is growth. Therefore, anyone who departs from this, regardless of whether he is, this is Sarah Bekafman, regardless of whether he is 7, 17, 27, or 70, is at risk of dropping out. I'm going to go a little later on. Filling the void. Unfortunately, when some people feel a void, they seek to fill it with things, with money, with possessions such as magnificent homes, luxury cars, designer clothing, state-of-the-art electronics, and Hashem Yirachem, with girls, drinking, and drugs. People turn to these diversions because they do not know how to fill the void within. When a person is complacent in his Judaism, when the davening is by rote, and his mitzvahs, and yes, even his Torah learning, are formulae punched in with the same level of involvement as a bank card's PIN code, he perceives himself as Jewish, but he has the urge to look elsewhere to find meaning, to find reason to live. How many of us or our children understand the meaning of our tefillos? Prayer without understanding cannot be prayer with heart. It will not bring any real connection with Hashem. How many of us or our children truly follow and understand Kriyas HaTorah? Is Tanakh merely a handbook for Vertlach and Drushes? Or is it the very basis of our existence? Why is Lashon HaKodesh a foreign language? Our children sing Zmiras whose words they don't comprehend. It is a wonder why English music attracts them? Are we more excited about our vacations, and do we derive more pleasure from our Divrei Rishus than from performing mitzvahs? What confusing message are we sending to our children? Do we really comprehend the meaning of Shabbos and Yom Tovim on a higher level than a grade school child? Do we genuinely experience Einik Shabbos? Is our Mata Shabbos an honorable escort to the departing Shabbos, or the antithesis of Kedushas Shabbos? Can we logically convince an irreligious person to observe Shabbos or perform mitzvahs? If we can't, is it a wonder why our children don't? So many American Jews are surviving Judaism, not living it. This, then, is one of the causes of the crisis gripping our young people. They live in the shallowness, or better said, the shallows, of American Jewry. They cannot understand their Judaism. If they do not understand, they cannot appreciate. If they do not appreciate, they cannot be enthusiastically involved, and it is not meaningful to them. If it is not meaningful, they are on the way to dropping out. Dropping out is not our main enemy. Superficiality and ignorance are. Well said. Just one more paragraph here. A teenager with goals in Torah, who identifies with a yeshiva or community, is protected from the obstacles of the world. He spiritually nourishes himself from the wellspring of Torah. A teenager without these goals will become a teenager without growth, and eventually without identity. Such a life is spiritually empty and is the breeding ground for the rebellion and misery of our troubled youth. A sense of true purpose and value is what will give meaning to our children and will keep them from the emptiness that fills their world. That's the end of the paragraph, except for one sentence. He has in parentheses, he says, of course, we can insert the word adult in place of teenager, and ourselves in place of children, and the above paragraph will be equally true. I went back and I read it again. An adult with goals in Torah who identifies with the yeshiva or community is protected from the obstacles of the world. He spiritually nourishes himself from the wellsprings of Torah. An adult without these goals will become an adult without growth and eventually without identity. Such a life is spiritually empty and is the breeding ground for the rebellion and misery of our troubled youth. A sense of true purpose and value is what will give meaning to ourselves and will keep us from the emptiness that fills our world. The same thing is true. I thought that was an unbelievable insight. And that's really what Zikaron is. That's remembering. That's staying alive. The summer is like the Yetzirah's field day. Somebody was telling me yesterday that when it starts to get cold outside, he breathes a sigh of relief, like this tension of the summer, of battling the Yetzirah over the summer. Halavai, we should feel that tension. But the Pasuk tells us that there's only one way to fight the Yetzirah. If you don't want to turn, you don't want to let the Yetzirah lead us like you lead a little child with a candy. There's only one solution. We have to remember. And remembering means to really remember that it has to come to life for us. And that there's only one way to do that. And that's by living in the moment and becoming aware of everything going on around us. We're all wearing a yarmulke on our heads. We all have a bris milah. David HaMelech realized in the Mesa Merchetz that his guf is tied to Hashem. It's an awareness. How often do we have that awareness? We're going to walk out this door. There's going to be a mezuzah on that door, emanating shmira and achdus of Hashem and helping us with our fight against the Yetzirah. Are we going to notice it? And so on and so on and so forth, to recognize the brachas that Hashem gives us. We're gonna go home, we're going to see family, we're going to see friends. Are we going to recognize the benefit that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, the present that He gave us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of us? Are we going to recognize the footsteps of Hashem next to us as He helps us through every day of our life? Are we going to recognize it, the constant nisim and the constant siyat Hashem? If we'll be alive to the moment, then we'll truly be able to remember. there.